Would you please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Esther, chapter 3. The book of Esther, chapter 3, verse 13. And then we'll be going to chapter 4. Esther, chapter 3, and verse 13. And the letters were sent by posts into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for prey. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now as we look in the life of Mordecai and Esther, and Lord, we realize that you put her in a very uncomfortable position, and yet she was willing to step up and be used of you. And Lord, may it be said of all of us that you have us here for a purpose, and may we fulfill that purpose, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Chapter 4 and verse 1. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him. But he then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. Now you ponder this for a moment. At what time did Mordecai realize that the majority of this issue was because he wouldn't bow down and give reverence to Mordecai, to Haman? That'd be an awful hard burden to live with, wouldn't it? If he ever really knew. But the fact that all the Jews that were on that particular day, that had to be very gruesome and grievous to him. Let's continue reading verse 9. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in under the king these 30 days. These 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. We find here Mordecai, who is grieving over the news of what is going to be happening to the Jews. We find Esther now being put into a position, well, let's be honest about it, that was not something that she was trained to do, and that is to mediate for people. She was, after all, someone who just simply had been chosen to be queen, not because of her background, but maybe just simply because of her beauty. We don't know. But she hadn't been prepared to be this type of an ambassador. Let's continue reading verse 13 and 14. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time," and may I say this, that would be the natural thing, wouldn't it? To hold your peace, to hope you could escape, that nobody would realize who you were, though it would be very griefsome. "Then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Ladies and gentlemen, anyone watching, who knows? You may be here right now for a specific reason, and God has put you someplace, and you had better be ready to be used. And that's simply the fact of the matter. He didn't put you here just so that we could be happy in life all the time, but there are things that we have to do. Psalm 34, 14. "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." Notice that. Depart from evil and what? Do good. Now, the what ifs of life. You know, if is a very small word. But I tell you what, it carries a lot of weight, doesn't it? What if Eve had not taken the forbidden fruit? What if Cain had not slain his brother? What if hundreds had gotten on the ark instead of just the eight? What if Korah had not been jealous of Moses? What if Achan had not taken that which was? What if the Jews, once they entered the promised land, had remained faithful to the Lord Jehovah? What if King Saul had been obedient to Samuel's instructions? What if Absalom had not committed treason? What if Rehoboam and Jeroboam had been able to come to an agreement about taxation? What if Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had not been willing to stand up for their Lord? What if Mordecai had not challenged Esther? Have you ever had a family member come and challenge you to do something right, to stand up for the Lord? And that's exactly what Mordecai is doing. He is challenging his cousin to do what's right. The what ifs of life. When we first met Esther and Mordecai, they were hiding their identity as Jews. When we first meet them, they were hiding that identity. Now Mordecai is challenging Esther to bravely go in unto the king. Now we'll be looking more at this next week, when we talk about Esther's going in, but it took a lot of guts for her to decide she was going to walk into that place where if the king did not hold up his scepter, they would take her out and execute her. Verses 14 through 16. No, excuse me, verses 15 and 16. 15 and 16. "Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this message. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." Mordecai to Esther, go. Esther to Mordecai, go. This is not a rash decision by Esther. Now, she is asking the Jews of that city to fast. And she and her maidens are going to fast. Fast night and day for 3 days. What if I came to you and said, "There's There's a major decision that has to be made here at the Covenant Baptist Church. And I'm asking all of you to fast for a day or 2 days or, God forbid, 3 days. Would we be willing to do that, or would we try to find loopholes? See, think about it. 3 days we're going to ask you not to eat or drink. Warren Wiersbe says, the queen goes into her counting house and counts the cost. It could have cost her life. Fasting. If you look it up in the thesaurus, you'll find it means firm, strong, steadfast. You know, if you're going to fast, you better be strong. You decide you're going to do it. It's something that takes, well, I don't want to use the guts, but it takes determination, okay? It takes determination. A fast, according to the dictionary, is to abstain from food. A time of fasting, to fast. This act of humiliation was obviously directed to the Lord and was certainly accompanied by prayer. It was something that she was willing to do. She was asking her maidens to do it. She was asking Mordecai to do it. She was asking the Jews of the city, do this. Do this. Fasting and prayer are frequently found together in Scripture. For fasting is a preparation for consecrated and humble prayer. If you would, the book of Ezra, chapter 8. Ezra, chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 21 through 23. Ezra, chapter 8. Just back a few books from Esther. Verse 21, Ezra speaking. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Abba, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us, for our little ones, and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Fasting in the Bible is a way of humbling ourselves, saying that I am going to deny myself food. And the idea is, as you turn to Psalm chapter 35, can you do two things, listen and turn? The idea is that when the hunger pang comes, because if you have fasted, you know the hunger pang is going to come. When it comes, you pray. It's like knocking on your heart's door and saying, pray now. Pray about that thing for which you are fasting. Psalm chapter 35, let's read verse 1. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. The psalmist David here is asking for the Lord to do something. But notice verse 13. As for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. Here is David saying, I humbled my soul with fasting. If you want to fast for the Lord's, what shall we say, to get his attention, he wants us to humble ourselves. And fasting is one way of doing it. The book of Daniel, if you would, chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. And we'll begin reading at verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. It's a time in which we confess. To confess. Is it hard to confess our sins? It is hard, isn't it? We don't really want to have to tell anybody that we have sinned, but the fact of the matter is, if we're coming before the Lord and we're wanting something special, special deliverance, we humble ourselves so that he knows that we are really true in this request. You're sincere. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 13. Paul and Barnabas are called by the Holy Spirit to go out and to minister. And let's look at 2 down through 4a. And it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed. So we find here that the early church, they even fasted so that they would know what to do about the continuing of sending out the gospel. Now note, of itself, fasting is no guarantee that God will bless. For fasting must be accompanied by sincere humility and brokenness before the Lord. Nowhere do we find that fasting was done just to lose weight. Now, some may do that. We're not told in the Bible they fasted to lose weight. We're not told that they fasted for any other reason but to get sincere to the Lord. And they would humble themselves before the Lord. Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. God has called for prophets and preachers to proclaim the need to repent. And yet what do we do? Done. Sometimes we fight against it, don't we? It just is a natural thing to do. The book of Joel, if you would please. Joel chapter 2. Right after the major prophets and Hosea, you come to Joel. In Joel chapter 2, and we're going to be reading at verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye your and with fasting, weeping, mourning, and rend your heart, not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Aren't you glad that our Lord is gracious, and that he is slow to anger, and that he'll give us second and third and fifth chances? But again, we are told to turn our heart away from that which is wrong to that which is good. Let me read to you from the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Moreover, when ye fast. It's interesting. The Lord didn't say, if you fast. He said, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. If your fasting is only a formal religious ritual, it accomplishes no spiritual purpose. So you had better be determined when you're going to fast that you're doing it for the right reason. Because if you're just simply going through the motions because you think you're going to impress somebody, well, nothing's going to be accomplished. You need to do it because you have something on your heart, a burden, a concern, and you're asking the Lord for direction, for guidance, for help. Since Jews throughout the empire were already fasting, weeping, and wailing, according to Esther 4:3, it was not difficult for Mordecai to unite the Jews in Shushan to pray for Esther as she prepared to intercede before the king. Now, let me say this to you. 3 days, and nobody tells the king this is coming. You know, a lot of times there are leaks. You know, the Detroit Lions are looking for new leadership, and there are all kinds of people trying to find leaks as to who the Lions are going to ask to be their next general manager and their coach. Well, it's interesting that nobody told anybody of any importance that we're all fasting because Esther, the queen, is going to go on our behalf to the king. When it comes, nobody knows. And there is a plan afoot. This was a matter of life and death for both her and her people. And the Lord would use this time to bring a spiritual revival to his people scattered among the Gentiles. Now, ponder that. God is using something that seems devastating to bring revival. You think God could bring revival in America? I believe he could. And it could take something tragic to bring revival to our country. But notice, scattered among the Gentiles. May I say this as born-again believers? We are scattered among the Gentiles, and we need revival. Our churches need revival. Our church members need revival. It's often the case that God's people have to experience trouble before they will humble themselves and cry out to God. See, what draws us closer to the Lord? When everything is going great and there's not a burden in sight? Or when we are going through health issues, monetary issues, other things? That's oftentimes when we get close to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Now, if I were to ask you, do you know the song, Sound the Battle Cry? All of us would say, yes, we know that song, Sound the Battle Cry. Battle, what happens in battle? People die. There are casualties. Yet we sing the song, and this the first verse, sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm everyone, rest your cause upon his holy word. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout it. A loud Hosanna. Christ is Captain of the Mighty Throng. Written by William F. Sherwin. Sound the battle cry. They were going to battle. They were going to pray and they were going to fast and they were humble themselves. Question. How would we interpret Esther's words, and if I perish, I perish? Warren Wiersbe writes, do these words suggest unbelieving resignation? Well, you forced me into it, so I'll do what you say, even if it kills me. Or trusting submission to the will of God, I'll do God's will, whatever the cost. You know, sometimes we have to be willing to stand up for the Lord, no matter the cost. And sometimes it may cost us a lot. It looks like Esther echoes the same surrender and confidence that Paul expressed to the Ephesian elders. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God, Acts 20:24. Paul was willing to die for the cause of Christ. You know, that's an amazing thought. This man who was a Pharisee, who probably was quite wealthy, and now he is saying, I am ready to die for the cause of Christ. From the human point of view, everything was against Esther and the success of her mission. Now, you know the end of the story, but do you agree with that statement? It would seem like everything was against her. The law was against her, because nobody was allowed to interrupt the king. So right from the start, it looks bad. The government was against her, for the decree said that she was to be executed. Her sex was against her, because the king's attitude toward women was worse than chauvinistic. The officers were against her, because they only did those things that ingratiated themselves with Haman. And in one sense, the fast would be against her. For going 3 days without food and drink would not necessarily improve her appearance or physical strength. I don't know about you, but going one day back during, before the election, going one day was hard enough. 3 days, whoo! But God is for us. But if God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. The answer of faith is nobody. If God is for us. And that's the key, isn't it? Is God for us? Fear not. Faith answered. Nobody was there. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Esther. Thank you for her willingness to stand up for her people and for you. Help us, Lord, when fear knocks, to answer it with faith. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And with thanksgiving, amen.